James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. I appreciate so very much everyone's prayers, and I've received cards in the mail and calls, and it's a blessing to be called pastor. I mean that anywhere, but especially here. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. In verse 13, we looked on Sunday night at kind of verses 1 through 12, and I didn't know for sure if the Lord would lead us back. I've kind of got a series of messages kind of brewing in my heart, and maybe God's going to use them in Illinois. I don't know. Maybe we'll get started on them here. I don't know. I just leave it up to the Lord. But the other morning early, I did read through the book of James, and God just continually speaking to my heart as I went through the book. And I want to share some things with you tonight I hope will be a blessing. Let no man say when he is tempted, this is verse 13, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. We touched on that Sunday night. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If you'd like to underline that verse, at least I'll say this tonight. That's going to be my text. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And then the Word of God said, every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That goes along with your testimony, Brother Craig. It's the word of God. Amen. And I'll tell you something. I have learned through the years. And when you need to know the will of God, the best place to look is the word of God. Because God can speak to your heart. There have been times in my life when God has spoke to my heart in prayer and let me know a direction. But there's been other times that he has spoke to my heart as I was praying and reading the Word of God. Then the Bible said, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, I like that, don't you? Seem to be religious. Because there's a lot of religious people in the world. But if he said, verse 1, seems to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If correctly read, that's verse 13 down through verse number 27. Pray with me if you would. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us just the next few minutes, our Father, to share something that might be a blessing to these precious people that have gathered here tonight. God, I realize tonight, our Father, that as Brother Ralph said a while ago, Jesus is coming. Lord, I sure would like to have a good testimony when you come. I sure would like to be on the firing line, Lord, not sitting on the sidelines when you come. I sure would like to be doing your will, our Father, when you come. Would you just help us, our Father, to see something that will help us down the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do not err, my beloved brethren. There's three areas here that God has spoke to my heart about. I don't have a lot of notes tonight. I won't be before you long, but I have a message on my heart. The three areas here, the area number one of temptation, then the area number two of the tongue, and then the area number three of the truth. All three of those areas are laid out here in this scripture. You remember on Sunday night, I made mention of a text in the book of Corinthians. And the Bible said here, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Over in the book of Corinthians, in verse 13 of chapter number 10, the word of God said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make you a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. We know that temptation in this setting here is what's being talked about in James, not in the trials or the tests of the faith, but this is a solicitation to do the wrong thing. This comes from the enemy, amen? Sometimes it comes from the world, and sometimes it comes from the flesh. You're drawn away of your own lust. I want to share something with you tonight that I've never thought about before. Verse 17 will stand on its own. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You could take that verse of Scripture and stand it up anywhere in the Bible, and it will stand on its own. But my question as I looked at this last night is, why did God stand it up right here? That verse, just, it almost looks to me like, Brother Steve, that it doesn't fit in the context. He's talking about temptation. He's talking about the tongue. He's talking about the truth of the Word of God. Why, right in the middle of all of that, does the Word of God say every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights? I believe the Lord has given me a little bit of insight. Beloved, listen, if we make it in this area of temptation, if we make it with our tongue without saying something in wrath or saying something in anger, or later in the book of James it says if a man bridles not his tongue, you put bits in a horse's mouth. But if we can do that, we need to understand that help came from above. That's not something we can do all on our own, amen? We can't endure temptation all on our own. We can't control our tongue all on our own. The Word of God said here, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving our own self. We can't stay away from deceiving ourselves all on our own. We need the help of God. I like what Paul said in the book of Acts. He said, having therefore obtained the help of God, we continue to this day witnessing both to the small and the great. As the Lord spoke to my heart, we're going to look at it just for a moment. But in the text tonight, in verse number 6, there's something that comes down from above. And that's wisdom. You see it right there in verse number 6. In verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I believe if you're reading this in its context, God is saying, hey, I have the wisdom that you need in the hour of temptation. I have the wisdom that you need to control your tongue. I have the wisdom that you need that'll keep you in the truth. Amen. Not just hearing the truth, but doing the truth of the Word of God and not deceiving yourself. And then over there, when you're thinking about this gift, every good gift and every perfect gift, I've misquoted that scripture for years, and it's hard for me to get it right. I have to look at it and read it. I always want to say every good and perfect gift cometh. No, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And so another thing that's from above, not only, beloved, listen, is wisdom from above. We know that the Word is from above. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We know that Psalmist said in Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so one preacher said it like this. He said, either the book, this Bible, the Word of God, is keeping you from sin, or sin is keeping you from the Word of God. It's one way or the other, amen? Either the Word of God is keeping us from sin, or sin is keeping us from the Word of God. So there's three things. The wisdom, I believe, comes down. The Word comes down from above. But the verse I just read to you in Corinthians, I believe the way out. The Bible said there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with that temptation, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you'll be able to bear it. So I believe tonight in the area of temptation, we're without excuse. God said, I've got wisdom to send down to you. I've got the Word of God I've sent down to you. And I've promised you, and I'm faithful to make you a way of escape. You say, Pastor, who are you preaching to tonight? All of us. Say amen. Good night. I mean, we've all got flesh. We've all got a tongue. We've all got a tendency, amen. The songwriter got it right. I can't remember all the words of the song, but prone to wander, prone to leave the one I love. That's this old stinking flesh that we deal with, amen. And God said here, but every man is tempted. In the temptation, I'd like for you to underline the words drawn away. Drawn away. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. When you get saved, there's going to be a pull. Somebody help me tonight. There's going to be a pull from glory, but there's going to be another pull. Say amen. That old slew foot, come on back here where you used to be, amen. There's going to be a drawing back, amen, to getting away from the things of God, and getting away from our Bible, getting away from witnessing, getting away from prayer. I believe it would shock us. How many people go from Sunday to Sunday and don't read a verse of Scripture in between? I believe it would shock us if we knew how little time was spent in prayer. I believe it would shock us if we knew how few people are witnessed to in Kingsport, Tennessee in a week's time. I believe it would shock us if we knew the facts. Amen? And so the Word of God is talking about being drawn away of His own lust. Enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. I just heard somebody from heaven say amen. You know who it was? David. He said, tell him, Pastor. I was a man after God's own heart. I thought I had this thing under control. I looked down there one day and I found out I thought I could live without the help of God, and my lust brought forth sin, and that sin brought forth death. It brought forth Uriah's death. It brought forth the baby's death. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart. Sometimes, listen to me. Sometimes when a man of God's preaching and the truth of God's Word hits us, there's a tendency to kind of put up a wall. There's a tendency to kind of rebel against that and resist that. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, those of us that know what it is to fall into temptation ought to be saying amen the loudest. When a pastor is preaching against alcohol, the man that's sitting there that's ever had a problem with it shouldn't be taking it personally. He ought to be and say, amen. Problem with drugs. Problem with sex outside of wedlock. We ought to be thanking God for the truth. The truth of the Word of God. Every man's tempted. He's drawn away of his own lust. He's enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Then in verse 16, he said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Make no mistake about it. I remember years ago, I'm not sure who I heard say it, but they said this is the LSD of the Bible. Lust, sin, death. And then that man of God said this, that's a trip you don't want to go on. Someone said years ago, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. A parent that's worth their salt does not want to see their children fall in sin. And beloved, listen, a pastor that's worth his salt doesn't want to see his people fall in sin. And we as God's people, we don't want to see anybody fall in sin. The Word of God said, do not err, my beloved brethren. The second thing we're just going to touch on briefly is the tongue. The Word of God said here in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. I'll be honest with you tonight. I'm asking God, this is really where Sunday came from, to give me wisdom. To give me wisdom. I need more wisdom. I hadn't been at the church long, and one of the men in the church was talking about Brother Jack. And he said this, and I never have forgotten it because it found a lodging place, Brother Steve, in my heart. He said this concerning Brother Jack. He said, Brother Jack just knew how to handle people. Can I confess something to you? I don't always know how to handle people. And you know what God's doing in my life? He's slowing me down. When I'm hearing something, I need to slow down. I don't need to speak right away. I just need to slow down. I need to weigh it in light of the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Are you like that as a dad? Sometimes maybe you need to just slow down, or as a mom, just slow down and listen. I believe with all of my heart, it's easy to speak before we should speak. It's easy to be angry when we shouldn't be angry. And it's easy not to listen. Sometimes, I don't know how to say this exactly. I think you'll know what I mean. Sometimes we're hearing, but we're not listening. Did anybody pick up on what I just said? We're hearing words. We're hearing sentences, but we're really not listening. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it takes the Holy Spirit to make us a good listener. A young lady said to me today, this is what she said to me. No one's ever asked me this. After the service was over, I didn't have my ears in. I wore them yesterday and forgot them today. Maybe I can get Miss Eve to sew them in there. She'll have to change the batteries then because I won't be able to see how to do that. But anyway, she said to me today, listen, she said, am I an abomination? I've never been asked that before in my life. It floored me. She had been told that. I told her in our conversation, I said, honey, I can't answer that right here. I said, you and I need to talk if that's okay. And she said, okay. But I told her, I said, honey, if your life never changed and I met you a year from now, I said, I'm not going to be calling you an abomination. I said, but I'm going to tell you that I love you and I'm praying for you. I said, if I meet you 10 years from now, I said, I am going to tell you that I love you and that I'm praying for you. Listen, there are sins that God calls an abomination. Jesus, over there, you can go over there. And by the way, beloved, let me just say this. Boy, I'll tell you what's the truth. Everybody's mind automatically goes to homosexuality, it seems like, or sodomy when you talk about abomination. But these six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one was a proud look.
And the last one was, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm telling you, there's a lot more than that sin that's an abomination in the sight of God. But I believe because of what happened in my life last week, Brother Steve, God slowed me down enough to listen today and not start spitting something out. Just slowed me down enough to listen, to take and weigh the words. Because actually there was a life in the balance. Are you listening to me? I believe this book teaches that God hates sin. Yours, mine, anybody's. I believe that book teaches that God is holy and he hates sin. How many believes the book teaches that? But I also believe this, Brother Houston. This same book teaches that he loves sinners. I want you to think about that. But God commendeth his love. That word commendeth means he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, it'd be a happy day in our life when we quit making big sins and little sins. And just realize, beloved, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are sins that cost you more. Amen. There are things that a preacher can do, can get forgiveness and go on in the ministry. There are other things that he can do and his ministry is done. It'll cost him. Cost him. The tongue. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. A man told his teenage boy one day, he said, son, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. His boy looked back at his daddy and said, I guess that's so I'd have to talk twice as fast. You say, Pastor, what would happen in the temptation we're drawn away, and if our tongue gets out of hand, then we're defiled? Look at verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And then said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. A Christian does not need anybody in the world to tell them when they get defiled. When we get dirty, amen. We know, don't we? We know. So in the temptation, they're drawn away. In the tongue, they're defiled. But in the truth, they're deceived. That's why the Bible said, do not err, my beloved brethren. The Word of God said here, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. If you back up to verse number 18, of his own will begot he us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You remember Peter said, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. You say, Pastor, how is it that we get deceived? We get deceived when we know the truth and we don't act upon it. That's why the Word of God said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There are sins, and I know you all have heard this before. You know, you can talk about idolatry, adultery. You can talk about lying, talk about stealing, talk about being drunk, a drunkard. There's all kinds of sin. We would call it the sins of commission. Things that we do that we should not do. But I dare say there's one individual. I'd say, listen, you might get mad at me, but I'd say there's not a one of us that couldn't sit here tonight and say we failed him in this area or that area. We know what we're supposed to do. We don't do it. I believe that, I didn't mean to say this, but that illustration where the woman was taken in adultery, you remember, in the very act. But the man was left off some way or another. They hauled her in before Jesus. Moses in the law commands that we stone her. She had done something that was wrong. Let me tell you something about that crowd. They had failed to do something that was right. They had failed, Brother Ralph, to recognize and realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who else can make the waves lay down? Who else can heal the blind? And who else can heal the lame? Who else can raise the dead? God put it all right before them. Who else spoke with authority? Who else had the throngs of people following him? Because he spake as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Be not doers, or be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Brother Craig, you mentioned in your testimony tonight, you know, how that, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not real thorough when giving my testimony, especially around young people. I don't want young people to think, well, Pastor got by with it, I think I'll just go that route. I would never want anybody to think that I'm proud of that mess. I'm ashamed of it. But I'm not ashamed of the one that pulled me out of it. The Word of God said, he forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want to say this now. I don't think I need to dwell back there, Brother Gristle. But I don't think I ever need to forget where I was when he found me. I was in a hole so deep, he is the only one that could reach me. His hand reached further down than I could reach up. When he reached down his hand, Brother Fred would sing, for me. He had to reach way down for me. And Brother Craig, you're right. He reached just as far down for you as he did for me. We were lost and undone without God or his Son. See, we got men that live in fine houses in Kingsport, drive fine cars, have a nice bank account, and they see that, they see the homeless. They're the ones that has the problem, Brother Steve. They never look in the mirror. We've all got a sin problem. That's why Jesus died for us. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, keep looking into the Bible, and continueth therein. That's very important. Some people use the Bible like a spiritual roulette. I don't know if I can remember the story, but I heard a preacher say years ago, he said some people just go like this and put their finger on a verse, you know what I mean? And he said a guy done that, and it said that he put his finger on the verse that said Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, well, that ain't going to work. Put his finger on another one and said, go down and do likewise. That ain't the way we're supposed to study the Word of God. Amen. Be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So in verse number 25, there's a blessing. In verse number 12, there's a blessing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life,
which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If you look it down in verse number 26, 27, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, there's that deception again. This man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When the Bible is talking about in verse 21 being defiled, we ought to know tonight, listen, that the world's trying to put spots on us. The world's trying to defile us. The flesh is wanting to defile us. And old Slewfoot, he definitely wants us defiled. Let me read a text and I'm done tonight, if I can find it. I believe it's in Timothy. Let me see if I can find it here just a moment. I believe it is. I hope it is. It is. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm done with this text. The Bible said, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. Remember, do not err, my beloved brethren. Saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So what it looks like to me in that verse of Scripture right there, how you and I behave, how you and I talk, how you and I endure temptation is going to have an effect on others. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. What if that verse right there was taken to heart just in Kingsport, Tennessee? What if everyone that nameth the name of Christ departed from iniquity? The Word of God said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. How many wants to be that right there? Just prepared. Be a vessel that God can use for his honor and for his glory. In verse 22, he said, flee also youthful lust, but follow. That's a good message, isn't it? Flee and follow. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for staying with me.